You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Yeah, rolling along, Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. We get into recency bias in a moment and what we saw this weekend and how it affects the way we view the future. I do think Russ is going through a bit of a quarterback midlife crisis, kind of a career crisis. He's not quite at midlife himself. What is he,
33?
That's not quite at midlife crisis range, but sort of his career, et cetera. Yeah, I do think so. And I was saying he's kind of in a Gen X situation because the people ahead of him, a little older than him, were unbelievably successful, right? And were the face of the league forever. Brady and Manning and Rodgers and Brees, really those four. You could probably make Big Ben, throw him in there. And Russ is going to outlast all of them, obviously. Well, maybe not. Maybe Brady will play for another 25 years. Who the heck knows? But, you know, he's going to outlast that group. And the next group below him of these, in my comparison, are sort of the millennials. That would be Burrow and Allen and Mahomes, et cetera. And I don't mean to say that Russ acts like a Gen Xer, because I got a texter here who says, don't disgrace your fellow Gen Xers with this. If he was one of us, he'd accept reality and not force everyone to accommodate to his unrealistic dreams. I don't know if that's okay. I don't know if that's who we are or not. But I do think that Gen X is sort of the forgotten generation, right? If you ever, when I was in management here, we would get these like poll results around the country, right? Of like trends in the country, who's listening to what and who's reading what and who's watching what. And they would always have boomers and millennials. they wouldn't even bother saying what Gen X was doing. I'm like, isn't Gen X like in the prime of its career right now? Like 40s and 50s and buying things and all that. And they're like, yeah, there's nobody there. We don't care. Yeah. They just totally write off Gen X entirely. Like, we want to know what boomers are doing still, and we want to know what the millennials are doing. We don't care about Gen X. And it's like they never have. And I feel like Russell is sort of in that same mentality and that same view of like, yeah, we're going to think a lot about the guys who are older than him and talk a ton about this next exciting group that is different and new and younger than him and kind of forget about the bridge in between. And in Russell's case, it's because, and I think Stacey was right on, Kaepernick disappears, Luck disappears, Newton disappears, RG3 disappears, Dalton essentially disappears. I mean, those are four or five of the guys that he was supposed to be the up and coming with. They all are gone. They all did bupkis when all was said and done. Andrew Luck went to a few playoffs. Cam went to one Super Bowl and unfortunately embarrassed himself in it. Right? I mean, like, those guys did nothing.
And RG3's career was ruined by Washington. He elevated himself within a couple years above all of those guys, though.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, I think he was with them. I think that, I mean, look, Kaepernick went to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton went to a Super Bowl. If they had Andrew Luck nearly went to a Super Bowl, and he has Tom Brady, unfortunately, for him in his conference. Mm-hmm. If those guys had continued on their same path rather than ending on their path, I think they could have been in the same. There could have been some real rivalry conversation there. But instead, they all disappeared. They're all gone. They all didn't end up living up to where they were supposed to be. And so it becomes kind of a forgotten generation of quarterbacks that not that long ago. And this is why I caution everybody to get too excited about Josh Allen, et cetera. Patrick Mahomes, I think it's fair. Dude's proven it. This is his fourth straight AFC championship game.
Real.
He's got a chance to go to his third straight. We know it's true. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, we'll see. It wasn't that long ago that we were having the same conversations about Cam Newton and RG3 and Andrew Luck and Colin Kaepernick, et cetera. We'll see what happens. He may very well be Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady when it's all said and done. They haven't done it yet. Whereas I think Patrick Mahomes just a couple of years ahead of them and has definitely shown it. So we'll see. Don't rush to too many conclusions. In the meantime, I think we all are guilty of rushing to some conclusions after what we watched this week. And as I said, guilty is charged when it comes to recency bias. We see things, we think it's the biggest, we think it's the best, we think it's the only way to succeed moving forward, and sometimes that's fine. Often it's fine, right? Doesn't really matter. Was that the greatest game of all time that you saw on Saturday? If you say yes, doesn't really affect anything, right? Like, you could change your mind again in a few weeks. Okay. I thought it was the best game, but I've been thinking about it more. Maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it was. Your life is not going to be changed materially one way or another, and no decisions are going to be made in your life based on whether or not that was or was not the greatest game of all time, a top five game of all time, a top 10 game of all time, whatever. Sometimes, though, it matters more. Like thinking that what you saw is the definitive future and that that is the best way and the only way to win football games. It's easy to get trapped into that thought. And we've done it before, right? Chiefs and Bills look like the best teams in the league this weekend. Both are built with high-powered offenses. They looked unstoppable, especially late in games. It's one of the reasons we're continuing this debate here about the overtime rules, because the offenses were so impressive. But haven't we seen this movie before? It's amazing how many times we forget our history to me. Haven't you seen this movie of these unstoppable offenses that can't be beat and there's no way around it? Didn't you see this in 2001 with The Greatest Show on Turf? I did. I know I'm Gen X, so if you're a millennial, let me remind you what happened in 2001 with The Greatest Show on Turf. The Patriots beat them with a better defense and a second-year quarterback in Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. They beat him up. They just attacked Marshall Faulk every time. And every time, whether he was getting the ball or not, they identified that he was the thing that made that offense go, and they just beat the tar out of him for 60 minutes, ended up winning the game. We saw it in 2007. She was on the other foot for the Patriots then. Unstoppable offense, 18-0. Randy Moss, Wes Welker, right? They were doing everything. They got to the Super Bowl, and what happened? Giants beat them. How? Unbelievable defensive line play. NASCAR package, four fast, attacking, aggressive defensive linemen that got after Tom Brady, harassed him, and disrupted everything that that offense had done for the previous 18 games. By the way, one weird little commonality of those two Super Bowls is that those teams had both times had played earlier in the year with the team that lost the Super Bowl winning the game. Then they met again in the Super Bowl, and it was flipped. So for everybody who hates the rematches, Georgia, Alabama, etc., they seem to work out pretty well all the time. Anyway, we saw it in 2013. Anybody remember 2013? Was anybody here? Anybody remember what happened with the Seahawks?
Doesn't ring a bell.
I do remember there was another team in that Super Bowl, and they were unstoppable, right? They couldn't be beat. The Denver Broncos in this offense, Wes Welker was there, right? Peyton Manning at the top of his craft. Then a great wide receiving core, running the ball, great offensive line. You can't beat them. How did the Seahawks do it? They beat the living tar out of them.
I loved it.
I don't want to speak ill of the recently deceased, but Cam Chancellor ended that game in the first quarter. Right?
Demaryius Thomas.
Hit him right in the mouth, game over. It's why Cam, it's one of the reasons Cam should have been the MVP of that game, and I'll argue this one until the day I die, but whatever. He ended that game early by just being flat out more physical, beating him up, see you later. And if you need to go back, if you can't remember that far back, if 2001's too far away, 2007 is outside of your memory, you can't even go back to the Seahawks win in 2013. Can you go back to last year? Can you go back to last year when the same Chiefs had the same unstoppable offense and it was the only way to succeed and it was the only way for the NFL teams to be built moving forward, and then the Bucs did what in the Super Bowl? Did they beat him with their unbelievable high-powered offense in a shootout with Tom Brady throwing for 450 yards? No. Their defensive line beat the living tar out of them.
Never seen Patrick Mahomes look like that.
He looked like Brooks Bollinger for 60 minutes. He looked like Max Hall. He looked like Brandon Whedon. Or who was the tall guy that you mentioned earlier?
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, my gosh. You name him. That's who he looked like.
Well, what did they do?
He looked
right
like
after
a random McCown.
The Chiefs rearranged their entire offensive line.
As they needed to. And we'll see whether or not that makes them better this year. Some of it was their own problems on the offensive line. Yes. Some of it was what Tampa did on the defensive line, man. That front seven was ridiculous. And they were playing at the top of their game last year. They were fantastic. So we'll see. The two teams left in the NFC are probably not as highly thought of as the two teams in the AFC. But if the Rams do end up getting there, specifically with Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, right? And now Von Miller and what they're able to do, and they certainly have a heck of a cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. If they are at peak health with that defensive front, could the Rams beat one of these ridiculous high-powered offenses? I think so. I think they're perfectly capable of it. You know why I think that?
Gross.
It is gross, but you know why I think that? Because I've seen it
any
number of times. You don't have to go back that far. You can just go back to last year. So you can win a lot of games with a great offense. You really can. It is definitely a way to succeed in the NFL. You can win the Super Bowl that way, by the way. I'm not saying you can't win. Of course you can. The greatest show on turf won a Super Bowl before they lost that one, right? The Chiefs won a Super Bowl before they lost last year. You can absolutely win Super Bowls that way. I am not here to tell you that that's not a good way to win. I am here to tell you it's not the only way to win. And I think that after games like that, it releases, I don't know, some endorphin or something in people where they start getting excited. Like, you have to do this. And if you don't have an offense like that, you're not succeeding in the modern NFL. And this is, yeah, it's one way to do it for sure. It's not the only way to do it. It's not the only way to do it.
Sorry, that's a really good point. I'm just trying to think of... you said something earlier that I already lost, so if you're going to move on, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to ask the next question of this is, how do you think that the Legion of Boom would have done against those Chiefs or those Bills on Saturday night? Like, would you have, what would you have loved to... Can you imagine that team, let's say it's the Chiefs, they end up winning the game. Can you imagine them against 2013 Seahawks?
I don't think Cam Chancellor lets Kelce do what he wants.
I don't either. You think they just allow wide open guys in the backfield or in the defensive backfield like that all game? I don't think so. You think those guys just all fall down? You think those guys don't rough some of these guys up at the line of scrimmage? You think Earl Thomas isn't fast enough to catch Tyreek? Maybe he's not. I don't know. Tyreek
Hill's not fast. Anybody?
I don't know if anybody's fast enough.
Well, and an underrated aspect of it is you'd be able to control them getting the ball a little bit because Marshawn Lynch did such a good job. The Bills don't really run the ball that much.
No, they only run it with their quarterback, whereas the Seahawks had a full-on, multifaceted attack. I'm not saying they would have definitely beaten them. I don't know that we know the answer to that, but I think it would have been a heck of a game. It would have been a heck of a ball game to see the 2013 or 14 Seahawks against them.
It told us a lot about that edge rushing, too. I mean, they didn't play a Mahomes then, right? Like, or a Mahomes type.
Who had the escapability? Well, yeah. I would say that Kaepernick had some of that.
Yeah.
They
just
played RG3. They played Kaepernick. Different. They kept those guys in the pocket and forced them to... I mean, they beat them both in playoff games, right? I mean, yes, when they got to the Super Bowl, obviously it was Peyton Manning, but to get to that Super Bowl in 2013...
They had to go through them, yes.
They had to go through the Niners. Now, I'm not saying Kaepernick was as good as Patrick Mahomes is. He's not. He was never.
We know that.
But he was a similar style quarterback in that he was multiple...
Escapability.
Right, some of the escapability. And had some pretty darn good players around him as well. I don't know. I take my chances on that, man. I take my chances with the 2013 Seahawks going against this year's Chiefs and see what happens. Absolutely. Michael Bennett,
fun.
Cliff Averill, Chris Clemens, those Brandon Mebane, those guys up the middle. I'll take my chances on that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Some other texts here. Oh, what a revelation, Salk. There's two ways to win in the NFL. Hey, I'm not telling you this is brilliant. I'm just telling you it gets ignored a lot. That people have a tendency, whether it's in the media or fans, I don't know, that when they see something right in front of them, and by the way, it was fantastic. I'm the same way. Oh, my God, that was awesome. Oh, my God, that was fun. It was on NFL Network yesterday. I was watching some of it again. It was great. It's truly, it might be the best game I've ever seen. If not, it was way up on the list. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, there have been some really great Super Bowls, not early in my life when every year it was a blowout, but like starting in the early 2000s or even maybe the mid to late 90s, we got some really great Super Bowls. Back and forth affairs, right? That Patriots-Rams Super Bowl that I mentioned was incredible. The first one, not the one a couple years ago. That was not great. That might be the worst Super Bowl that I've seen. But the Patriots-Rams is a great Super Bowl. Patriots-Giants both times were great Super Bowls. The Steelers and Cardinals was
a
great
one.
Super Bowl. Came down to some really exciting moments, right? Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone. I mean, the Patriots and Falcons was a great Super Bowl. I mean, it feels like
Saints,
every year.
Colts with the onside kicks.
Seahawks-Patriots is one of the better games we've ever seen. I mean, like, we've seen just tremendous Super Bowls over the last couple of decades. and some great championship games thrown in there as well. So, yeah, there's a little bit of prisoner of the moment in there, but that game was right up there with any one of them. Truly one of the best games I've ever watched, and I don't mind saying it. I don't mind the little recency bias, but I'm not going to say that's the only way to win in the NFL. I think that there's still plenty of others. Right now it's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, Tom Brady may retire. Doesn't matter? Well, actually, it should. As a Seahawks fan, not just an NFL fan, the seven-time Super Bowl winner, mulling his options, he says, following the season, said yesterday in a podcast that he is undecided about what to do for next year.
Playing football, I get so much joy from. I love it. But not playing football, there's a lot of joy in that for me also now, too, with my kids getting older and seeing them develop and grow. So all these things need to be considered, and they will be.
Totally understand that. Doing a radio show, I get a lot of value from that. But you know what? Not doing a show, get a lot of joy from being at home as well. If he does indeed to hang him up, it would mean the Bucs would be in the market for a new quarterback and possibly rebuilding after the little run they've had here with Brady and Gronk. And so the Seahawks play them and the whole NFC South next year. Tampa's on the schedule. Factor in that. Factor in the rest of the issues in that division, and John Clayton says might be really good news for the Seahawks next year.
If the NFC South doesn't have Brady at Tampa Bay, doesn't have Sean Payton over at New Orleans, you've got Matt Rhule, who's probably going to get fired at Carolina. Atlanta's just average right now. And they play that, along with the fact that they play the fourth place schedule, where they get the Jets, the Giants, a couple teams like that.
Yeah, you may be looking at a playoff team next year again. You can see the reasons why the team has decided not to try not to rebuild, but to move forward. 7-10 last year in what is clearly the best division of football, with two NFC championship teams, three playoff teams overall. They had an injured quarterback, the wrong defensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, and a little bad luck thrown in. They still finish strong and have a weaker schedule next year. Yeah, I get it why you don't want to move backwards, but forwards. It's all fine. But it shouldn't allow you to rest on your laurels. You still need to improve the pass rush. You still need to improve your defensive line. You still need to improve the offensive line. And some of that should come through free agency and going after some marquee names, a route that they have traditionally avoided.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Get people in a room together with the prospect of all of them losing money if you can't come up with a solution. And sometimes you get a little bit of progress. That's what it felt like yesterday as reps from Major League Baseball and the Players Union met, got closer, and then agreed to meet again today. Great news. Even better, we heard some signs of progress as the players were willing to drop some of their previous demands and lower the ask on others. If you want some specifics, they agreed to drop their proposal for age-based free agency, meaning the two sides should negotiate whether free agency starts after 5 years or six. Players also backed off their ask that the revenue sharing to the small market teams be cut by $100 million. They're now asking that for that to be closer to $30 million a year. Tend to side with the players on a few of these issues, honestly, so I'm not sure this is the I like where they're going, and I think that there are some things that they should fight harder for. They would be better for the game than what they're necessarily doing right now, but I do think it helps them get to an agreement sooner. So, yes, I'm happy. I think the players have a good argument for raising the league minimum from $570,000 up to $775,000. There are other issues, though, where I think the players are holding out for something not as important or necessarily as positive. I don't need to see a draft lottery for teams at the bottom. I don't know that that necessarily helps the game, nor do I care too much about raising the competitive balance tax to a higher threshold. I think that allows a couple of teams to spend more, which is great for the players making money, but not great for my enjoyment of the game. Regardless, the sides will meet again today. They will work to get something done before spring training is set to start in a few weeks. Baseball Hall of Fame results will be released today. Could see up to three players inducted. David Ortiz has been leading the way. He's the most likely to get in this first year of eligibility. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens both trending above the line for now. We'll see. Scott Rowland gaining momentum in his fifth year. Curt Schilling likely to fall short in his last. That's a tragedy. I'm all for Bonds and Clemens. I would vote for both of them. But why not Sosa? He's also in his last year of eligibility. Hit 609 home runs. Had an OPS nearly 900 in his career, but he's not going to make it. Not even close. If you're going to vote for the steroid guys, vote for the steroid guys. Don't make these little determinations and splits. I just don't see it.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kraken back at it tonight, trying to keep up some of the success of the last couple of weeks. 1-3 out of 4 due to some improved goaltending, fewer costly turnovers, and thankfully a timely goal or two. Nashville comes to town tonight. one of the best records in the league, but they've lost four of their last six, so it's good news. You may remember the Kraken won their first match, which was literally the first win in team history. Brandon Tanev may not be playing the rest of the year as he recovers, but it doesn't mean he'll be disappearing. In fact, it sounds like we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. He's essentially going to be a public ambassador for the team as he recuperates. The new role should allow him to be a semi-frequent guest on the Root broadcasts and could include interacting with season ticket holders, local youth hockey programs, etc. It's pretty cool. Here is Tanev talking about how much fun it will be to be on the broadcast.
I'm going to go up there and just try to keep things light. You know, the opportunity comes to go up there and just have some fun. Obviously, it's a different aspect that I'm not used to, and I think it's going to be an opportunity to have some fun and connect with everybody in the broadcast booth. You know, have some fun, maybe throw some subtle jabs at some teammates along the way and see how they take it. But no, it's just it's a great opportunity, you know, the team presented, and it's going to be a fun one.
I certainly hope he does. Last night's schedule, a little light in the NBA. Suns win a premier matchup with the Jazz. Devin Booker, 33, and Chris Paul was a rebound short of a triple-double. Cavs sneak by the Knicks. New Orleans over Indiana. Bulls win even without DeMar DeRozan. They get past Oklahoma City. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past to every hour here on the Mike Salk Show.
What do you think the argument is for Sosa not going in? Why do you think it's not higher or at least closer? Is he just the least famous of the steroid home run hitters?
I don't know. I mean, McGuire didn't go in. I don't know whether there's a view that he's more steroid-y than the others, which I don't get.
He wasn't really a fantastic defensive player, right? And he had probably five really big years of hitting.
Dude hit 609 home runs.
Yeah.
609 home runs, and along with Mark McGuire and the home run chase, saved baseball. Both guys should be in the Hall of Fame. To me, this is a no-brainer. We'll talk more about it at 9 o'clock. Those two guys, for me, should be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt.
I just looked it up. His very first year of eligibility was a 12.5%. The lowest he went down in voting was a 6.6 two years later.
Yeah, I mean, and now it seems like they're starting to make some exceptions for Bonds and Clemens, and Ortiz was linked a little bit to steroids as well.
Yeah.
I don't, where are you drawing the line? Why some of these guys and not others? I guess the argument is that Bonds and Clemens could have been Hall of Famers without steroids, mm-hmm. whereas Sosa maybe couldn't have been, but I don't know that we know that. It was fairly early in his career that, I mean, who knows what he would have done without steroids? I'm not that upset about roids, as I've said before. Those guys were the best players of their era. And if you're gonna have a Hall of Fame, and that was the era that you played in, and by the way, the league essentially looked the other way throughout all of it, how can you then say that those guys don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I think if they're in, they're in, and if they're not, they're not. I'd vote them in. You want another Apple podcast review? I think I've got another one for you.
I'm really excited about these earlier. So
we've had some good Apple podcast reviews. This one, you can go to Apple Podcasts, download the show, subscribe there so you get every show. I'm really hoping for a 4.7 rating. We're at 4.6. We've gotten a ton of positive ones recently, but, you know, we're almost at 200 overall, so it takes more and more to raise that number. This one comes from Decaf Metcalf, who says, "No excuses." One of the funniest clips of sound on the show is the Bruce Arians No Excuses clip. It's perfect and hilarious and shows his hypocrisy. Since Mr. Salk, you want to get to a 4.7 rating on Apple Podcast, I have two words for you. No excuses. I hope you can achieve your dream of a perfect 5-star rating. You may not be my father, but you are certainly my favorite Seattle radio host. Thank you. I can't wait for you to talk Mariners every day once the lockout wins. Thank you, and I hope this review... I hope you read it on the show. You have the best daily show in Seattle. Thank you. That's very nice. Aww. That's very, very sweet. And just for you, Decaf Metcalf, here you go.
Didn't get it done. No excuses.
Thank you. There's Brucey Bruce. God knows what kind of excuses he'll be making after this weekend.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because we were ready to come out of the locker room.
Right.
And take the field when we were told there's a 5-minute delay. No excuses.
Yeah, you can't win after that. They took the... So, yeah. They 5-minute delay. Nobody can win after a 5-minute delay. No excuses there, Brucey Bruce. All right. Well, speaking of no excuses, I will make none as I take a definitive L or 4 next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
I can't believe, Justin, of all the people, I'm really surprised that you don't like Ted Lasso.
I didn't say I don't like it. I just don't love it yet.
Yeah, you kind of said you don't like it. You're like most of the way through the first season. You're not gripped by it. I don't really like it. And you're watching it now just because everyone else thinks you'll like it.
And I told you the reason that I think this is because I expect it to be like snappier and like more punchlines and just in like a faster pace.
But you're such a like positive, optimistic kind of human.
Which is why I said I'm not going to say I don't like it. Just not
but I would think it would
yet.
Appeal directly to you. I mean, it's got some. I'm surprised. All right, it's time to take L's. Optimism aside. How'd we do in our picks, Mara?
This is going to be a rough go for you and I. Pretty good day for Justin. So I guess we'll get right into it with our picks for his team's game, which, of course, we knew he was going to get that one right. Yeah. Bengals Titans.
I didn't know he was going to get that one right. I knew that he was going to pick them.
Well, okay, yeah.
I didn't know that they were going to win.
Now that we know the result, we knew he was going to pick them is what I'm saying. Okay, let's listen into what we said last week.
43 years of life tells me to pick against the Bengals whenever the chance arises. So I will go Tennessee 38-34. Derrick Henry rushes for 185 yards. Ryan Tannehill throws for 300. Bengals offense does its thing, but its defense isn't able to contain the Titans.
So I'm going to say that since he puts up a couple field goals early, Titans run away with it. Joe Cool returns.
Oh.
For a fourth quarter comeback against the ugliest uniforms in sports. They win 31-30.
Mora,
I'm sorry,
break the
Justin.
Tie.
Oh, I'm
no.
sorry.
No.
I want your Bengals to win, but I picked the Titans in the bracket I already did. Ryan Tannehill has actually been playing pretty well over the final 3 weeks of the regular season. 79.4 QBR, third best in the NFL.
Who's first and second?
Man.
Burrow up there?
I think Burrow was second.
No, Burrow's been playing well. I think the Titans have a better defense.
I do too.
No, of course they do.
Much better.
Okay, wow. Wasn't wrong about the Titans having a better defense.
No.
Was very wrong on Ryan Tannehill.
You guys can take your L. Mora, take your L.
Oh, yeah.
You'll I got this one right.
Always be a loser.
I will take that L.
So here's my question, Mora. You picked the Titans. You said you were hoping the Bengals would win. Who'd you root for?
Yeah, I guess I kind of lied. I usually root for the underdog, and I wanted to root for Justin's team, but I wanted to be right more than I wanted to root for Justin's team, so I found myself actually pulling for the
Titans.
I'm
so proud of you. That's so great to hear. Good for you.
Bengals a couple field goals early. Joe Burrow comes back to win it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're pretty right on there. Justin nailed that one. All right, Moore and I will take our L. What else you got?
All right, next up, Packers 49ers.
Packers win big. So here's my prediction. Jimmy G throws two picks, has to come out of the game because he's hurt. Lance throws two more. Debo does nothing as a running back in this game, even though I love him. Oh. As the Packers prep for, he seems to have one move. You give it to him and he immediately cuts it back. So they're going to be ready for that this time. Rodgers goes 22 of 26 for 320 yards and two touchdowns. There's your game.
I'll be the dummy to pick one of my least favorite teams, beating another one of my least favorite teams by a Robbie Gould field goal. 2017 Niners.
I'll be rooting for that. I'll be rooting for the Niners.
I don't agree with what you said about Debo. The Packers have been susceptible in their run defense. And they do get Za'Darius Smith back, I think, this game.
He's pretty good.
So that will help. But yeah, I'm with you. I can't. I mean, but this was the reason I picked against them last week and I was wrong. But I just think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to blow it.
Yeah.
The Packers are not the Cowboys.
At some point, he's going to blow it, guys.
Robbie Gould field goal.
I know. Justin was on that one.
I was wrong about quite literally every single thing I said about this game.
Yeah.
Blowout, wrong. Garoppolo picks, wrong. Trey Lance playing, wrong.
Rodgers 300 yards,
wrong.
Two touchdowns.
That they would be ready and that Debo would do nothing as a running back. He had the biggest play of the game as a running back, wrong. Even the fact that I said I would be rooting for the Niners, wrong, because I ended up rooting for the Packers, much like Mora, because I wanted to be right rather than rooting for the team I hoped would win. So, yeah. I was wrong about everything, including myself.
I warned
you. Who's calling me a loser?
Me. I'm calling me a loser.
Said Aaron Rodgers, 11-9 in the playoffs. I don't know.
When did Justin become the great genius over there?
Sayer.
All right. Well, don't worry. You've got an L coming. We'll go to Bills Chiefs.
Thank God.
The Chiefs are battle-tested. They got the better quarterback. They're at home. I think Josh Allen does play well. I'll give him that. But throws a key pick or a big fumble or turnover of some regard late in the game, and the Chiefs find a way to win. Come back and win.
I think whoever wins this game wins the Super Bowl. So it's really who doesn't give the ball away if the Chiefs did a lot this season. So I'm going Bills, Josh Allen. I want to watch Salk melt into a shame puddle next week.
That'll be off.
I'm going Bills, too. I think their defense is just better. The Chiefs' defense has been improved, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop Josh Allen running is going to hurt them.
So, whoever wins this game is going to win the Super Bowl. You think the Chiefs are beating your team this week?
I strongly regret saying that line. But, listen, crazier things have happened. I still think the Chiefs are really, really good. But the, like I said before, the Bengals did beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
Already.
Okay.
So it's not like they got blown out in Week 17. I think it's going to be close. But that's for next week.
Let's stick with this week.
I take the L.
I picked the Chiefs.
You did.
Thank you.
You eased up on your Josh Allen. Like, you had some crazy predictions that he was going to really mess up last week. Yeah. This week you still said one turnover, but...
Yeah, he didn't have any.
Eased up on
he was essentially perfect. He was so really, really good.
We all
really
had something wrong in there, but your pick was
fine.
Right.
At least
you bunch of losers! Deserve it.
That's my favorite one. What is that from?
Beetlejuice.
That's from Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
It's Michael Keaton.
We were just talking about Beetlejuice the other day, weren't we?
It's a fantastic movie. Yes, we were.
It's such a funny movie. I didn't realize that's what that's from.
All-star cast. Either.
How did you even find that or remember that was from Beetlejuice?
I don't know.
I think you were just searching YouTube for loser cuts, right?
It's been a while, yeah. It's probably all of this. I don't think there's any real mystery.
Last one.
The Bucks.
Last one.
Almost had this
Bucks,
one right.
Rams.
Matt Stafford beating Tom Brady in a playoff game. I don't know that I can even say those words aloud and not like spontaneously combust. But I do think the Rams have a better overall team, especially defensively.
What's the score?
I'm taking the Bucks. I can't do it. I can't take Matt Stafford over Tom Brady.
I agree with you.
I just can't do it. I've got to take the Bucks. Every single fiber of my being says the Rams win this game, except that it's Brady and Stafford, and I got to go with Brady.
Heart tells me not to bet against Brady, of course, but my head says the Rams outmatch them. If the Bucks O-line's missing one or two starters, which it looks like they might be right now too, Donald and Vaughn make it a long, slow tablet-tossing day for Brady. Rams win comfortably 28-17.
Oh, wow. I can't pick Matt Stafford over Tom Brady. I think that you're right. This defense is going to give Brady some trouble. He's when they bring pressure like that, he has had some, it'll be a long day. And I don't think that the Rams will have much success running against the Bucs. So
agree
that
with
means
that.
It's all on Stafford. Okay, and I don't, can't pick him.
They didn't have much success running on the Bucs, but Stafford actually came through.
I was so close too. I mean, I obviously thought the Rams would win. I just couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So yeah,
you were close.
Hit me with
Justin
my L.
Had it.
That's a bunch of losers.
You know what I forgot? And this is on me. I mean, obviously, I was just looking at the quarterbacks, and obviously, I ignored the true biggest factor in the game. I didn't account for Brucey Bruce.
New sheriff in town, baby.
New sheriff in town, Bruce.
I love Mora yesterday. What do you think? He's just over there smoking a cigarette?
During the comeback,
well,
yeah.
You
I
said
think
the
he
comeback was.
Was
all Tom Brady, but then that defensive call that got messed up at the end was all Bruce Arians.
But yes, I would imagine Bruce Arians taking a timeout to go over to the bench.
I got to do a better job keeping my emotions on the sideline because I lost it on those guys.
Yeah. Just get it right, Bruce.
All right, we'll try and do better this week, but good job, Justin.
Thank you. 3 for 4.
Didn't get it done. No excuses.
That's us. We just didn't do well this week, just like Bruce. No excuses. All right, there you go. That's our taking the L. If you have suggestions of other folks besides just us who you think should take L's, you can always text them to the show, 206-421-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. All right, let's talk to Brock Heward coming up next. I need a little updated quarterback, not ranking, but quality ranking from him. You'll see what I mean. I'll ask him next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Heward is my hero.
What Brock Heward says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. You feeling better today?
Me? Oh, good yesterday. Yeah. What do you mean? I feel good.
Well, did Heather read you a story last night? Because it sounded like you were wired up and fired up about this overtime thing.
Still am. I still am fired up about it. Thankfully, 77% of people seem to agree with me, so I feel a little bit like a little bit. Here, let me give you one last suggestion on this. What would you think of this?
Okay, but
what if you're not going to be willing to change the rules of overtime to make it fair for both sides? Would you consider in the playoffs giving the home team, the team with the better seed, the ball in overtime rather than the ridiculousness of the coin toss?
Sure. Yep, I'd be just fine with that. So, you know, that visiting team knows, like, okay, you know, we go to overtime, we're going to have to D up right away, and yep. this is the payoff for them, you know, being the higher seed for a better overall record, for earning that right. Sure, sure. I would absolutely, I'd be just fine with that.
I could live with that. I would live with that because, look, you're saying the regular season matters, and you did something because 10 of the 11 teams that have won the coin toss in the playoffs have won the game. I mean, at some point, that's not even. At some point, it's not just go stop them. Like, 10 of 11 right. teams becomes an overwhelming number of. I mean, that's you can't ignore that. So, okay, say that you earned that right during the regular season. It's part of your home court advantage or home field advantage.
Yeah, I'm good with that. No, I just saw that you got Heather involved. She got you on the couch
yes,
last night.
You know it.
Walk through this, so I'm good. Okay, I'm good.
All right, I got a question for you. As you yeah. watch these teams and these quarterbacks these days, I'm not looking for an updated quarterback ranking, but has anything changed in the qualities you're looking for in a quarterback as you watch some of these young kids?
Ooh. I feel like I tweeted this Saturday as well or Sunday that Allen and Mahomes are just not, they're just not human. I mean, what their talents are so rare. That throw Mahomes made around, like Matrix style, around that defender, Mike. Like, 20 years ago, nobody even attempts that. Like, you just kind of throw it out of bounds, or they win that play. But these guys, you know, I think more than ever, honestly, in some ways, my answer is like back to the future. Like, go back to finding those players. Josh Allen was a two-star recruit. Patrick Mahomes was a three-star recruit. Part of the reason for that was because they just played, right? You watch Mahomes, you watch Allen, you see kids that played other sports. Mahomes was a phenomenal baseball player. Obviously, his dad was a pro baseball player. Josh Allen grew up on a farm, and he just played. He didn't have a QB guru. He didn't train one sport 7 days a week. They're just dynamic. They're dynamic in their competitiveness and their athleticism. So I actually think I go back to answer your question. While these guys are doing things we could never do in our generation, I think those two in particular are a prime example to just play and be well-versed athletically to do a lot of things. That also being said, I mean, Mahomes, the only dual-threat guy left, right? Garoppolo plays between the tackles. Stafford plays between the tackles. You know that Joe Burrow plays between the tackles. So I think, once again, your ability to process all three of those guys can play the game, have got their teams on this stage because they can see and process the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a hard one to evaluate. That's a hard one to project. That's a hard one from junior high to high school, from high school to college, and certainly college to pro, to continue to project how they process and see the game from the neck up.
Yeah, I think that's all true. I don't know whether I would say, I mean, Burrow especially is definitely not a statue back there. I mean, he can run around a little bit, right, and make some plays with his legs.
I mean, he was sacked nine times on Saturday.
Well, that's fine. Russell's been sacked about a million times in his career. He's still a dual threat guy who can run. I mean, I would say Burrow can move around. None of them are statues. You're not talking about, you know, a decrepit Peyton Manning with the Broncos back there. I mean, like, they can move a little bit.
You got to be able to move a little bit. You got to be able to, you know, run your play action and your nakeds and do those things. And Burrow, you know, he is a good athlete. He too was a kid that played other sports and basketball and just a dynamic guy all the way around. But I do think in a day and age where there has been, and certainly Josh Allen's a QB run guy, Mahomes extends plays phenomenally, it's certainly a dual threat nature. It is a little unique this year that three of the final four standing really do their damage between the tackles. And I think that points to, you've still got to be able to do that. You know, it's icing on the cake. It is a bonus if you can run. It is tremendous for our team if you can escape and get out of trouble and save the day for your coordinator and your offense and everything else. But when you get to this stage and the speed is so fast, you better be able to process and see the game very, very quickly. And I think all four of these guys certainly do that.
Yeah, I think there's truth to that. And I love that you go towards the whole range idea. Brady, another one who played baseball, was drafted, right, as a baseball player. Did Peyton play multiple sports, or was he a guy that kind of focused on football early?
No, he played basketball and baseball in high school. And in fact, I was watching him when we transitioned to him coaching his son's baseball team play. I'm like, did you play? He's like, oh, baseball was my first love. I was like, really? pitcher and shortstop. And, he played. I don't know if you saw the video of his nephew, by the way, Arch, down there in Louisiana. Big nephew, or a big video was going viral this weekend, Mike, of Arch playing basketball. And both Kirby Smart and Nick Saban there in the gym watching him. And by the way, Buff Dude Report, Arch... Arch,
stop.
Big old puff dude.
Stop it. He's too young. Stop it. Enough. I'm going to save you from. No. I'm going to talk over you and save you from
Uncle
yourself.
Uncle Eli.
No.
Uncle Eli and Uncle Peyton stop do it. Not hold a candle physically.
Stop it. Stop to, it. Enough, dude. Okay, that's stop it. Right, that is right. Disgusting. Take it down. My God, he's in high school. It's funny you bring it up, too. I was watching, as I tend to do, some college golf yesterday as I was at home. And they were showing this kid from Texas.
What? Stop it.
I'm not.
No, if you're going to stop me watching Arch playing basketball and evaluating him athletically,
no.
I'm going to stop you watching high school golf.
College golf, man, first of all. And second of all, I was only stopping you from talking about a high school kid's body. That's all. This is in your best interest. No, this guy from Texas.
I'm talking about his athleticism.
No, you're
go
not.
On.
No, you're not. You're talking about something else. In any event, this kid from Texas, they were talking about how he was a great high school quarterback and a great baseball player. And they're showing him and all the pictures of him in high school and how he's currently choosing golf, but how hard it was for him and talking about some of that specialization. Golf's a sport in which you probably can specialize a little bit earlier because of the repetitive nature of it. But even still, some of the lessons learned from the other parts of life can be super valuable.
I don't think there's any question about that. And your guy Jordan Spieth speaks to that. And
sure.
And I think I told this story before of Terrell Pryor back at Ohio State. And I was actually telling this young QB yesterday. Montana State's got a super young, talented freshman quarterback that took him to the title game. Great kid. And we were chatting last night. And he just kind of was asking me about, how do you handle, just such a performance base? Everything is judged. And I said, well, do you play golf? Because that's what Jim Tressel did with Terrell Pryor back at Ohio State. He was a perfectionist. It was all about got to do everything right. And Tressel said, hey, you're going to take golf second semester. And he's like, I never played golf. He's like, that's right. It's going to be good for you. You're going to have to fail. You're going to chunk shots. You're going to have to learn from it. And it will be the best thing for you. So that can be a good training mechanism, too.
I wonder how many clubs he ended up breaking along the way. I would imagine a couple. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, buddy.
There you go. Text message here saying, if Brock starts talking about Arch's power source, then that is over the line. I totally agree. I don't need any part of that. All right, that's Brock Heward. He joins us every day in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. And always fun to chat with Brock. You can hear him again at 9:30. All right, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, must mean a little conversation with Joe Fan. As much as we got wrong last weekend, he got nearly the same right. He picked all road dogs. I want to know why. We'll talk to Joe next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.